Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Dr. Bauer, John Williams here. Welcome back to WGN.
Good afternoon, John. How are you doing today?
Really good. I don't know if you heard my just reading a commentary from the New York Times about one of the Supreme Court justices choosing not to wear a face mask and so distressing the others. I said so distressing, but Sotomayor and Breyer then decided not to attend in person. Do you have any comment on that scenario?
Yes, and I think I'll have to choose my words carefully, though. I think two of the judges were quite smart and prudent in their choice. You know, I hear people say all the time, my body, my choice. And to some extent, that's correct until their choices affect me and affect you and affect everybody else. This is not political. I think that decision really flies in the face of what we know about COVID, science, common sense, and most importantly, common courtesy to your fellow man. And I think I'll leave it at that, other than it really sends the wrong message to a lot of the public when somebody that is that influential in that type of position kind of openly flaunts disregard for the recommendations of the CDC and what everybody should be doing. And I think we'll leave it at that.
There's a story in the Tribune today on the front page about a doctor who is creating paintings for his fellow workers as a way of easing the stress for himself and for them. And at the end of the story, it's just, it talks, I won't read from it here, but it talks about how stressful beyond our ability to understand it is for the workers who sometimes have that ethical dilemma of having to treat people they know have ignored the warnings. Like, say you're a smoker who's not been vaccinated and you're old and now you come down with COVID and you're in the hospital. Ethically, they should get the same treatment that everybody else does. And it just talked about how challenging that can be for healthcare workers these days. I don't know if you saw that one.
I didn't, but it's something that comes up virtually on a daily basis. And I hear it from physicians, from physician extenders, from our nursing staff, that is just frankly getting tired of what we've had to deal with the last 2 years. Yet everybody still realizes, despite their frustrations, they still need to rise to the occasion and provide the best care we can possible, even though in many cases this was almost self-inflicted. But that extends to a lot of the conditions that we end up treating, John. It's just an unfortunate thing.
Is it good news that it seems, I'll just quote here from a report that's been handed to me, all four measures Chicago Public Health tracks to gauge the spread of COVID-19 pandemic are decreasing. Ben Bradley is writing about how it does seem to be ticking down. And Allison Arwoody said, this is good news. It's not over, but it's ticking down. Do you see it that way?
Yes, we do. It certainly isn't bad news, but we don't want to mislead anyone into thinking that it's over, that we're out of this. Don't forget, there's still almost 800,000 cases a day in the United States. And while we may be seeing the plateau and a decline in some of the measures, as is New York and some of the other northeastern states, there's plenty of states that have not hit their peak or plateau yet. Just look out west where they're starting to go through what we've been going through now the last several weeks. So the message on that is, yes, better news than the numbers going in the wrong direction, but by no means does it mean that we're over this.
Are you worried about another variant?
Listen, I don't worry about those things while coronavirus is circulating. We're going to see other variants. There's no question about it. What I am hopeful for is the fact that Omicron truly is less, quote unquote, dangerous and destructive, since it doesn't seem to be getting the lungs and causing that same type of death and destruction that it did with Alpha and Delta. And I think that speaks to new variants that we may see may follow a similar path. But again, we've learned you can't predict what's going to happen with this thing. There's just no way.
I'm reading from a story that says the Israeli study shows the fourth shot of the vaccine is not as effective on Omicron. Do you see that as well?
Yes. So what the Israelis did, and this study has not been published yet. They released some preliminary data. They took in one of their medical centers 154 staff members and gave them a fourth Pfizer dose. Then they took an almost equal number that had been already boosted with Pfizer and gave them an additional Moderna boost. And it shows that the antibody levels do increase, which you'd absolutely expect, but Omicron still seems to evade even those increased levels. What I do hope, though, is that similar to flu vaccines, when we don't have a good match for a particular flu season, we do know that people that have gotten their flu shot, even when they get the flu, it tends to be a milder case. So I think the take-home message from this is likely going to be that the second booster or fourth dose really is not going to be recommended for the public at large at this point, but still may have a role for those most vulnerable and most at risk.
NBC's reporting that the number of people who still can't taste or smell 6 months after contracting COVID is 1.6 million people. Are you surprised to see that number?
No, you know, that is one area that we still just don't know a lot about. We really don't know what has happened in those cases. There's a lot of theories going around. Could it be some damage to the cells that protect those olfactory or smell neurons in our nose? Or is it related to how we break down chemicals? And, you know, the breakdown of those chemicals, that's what leads us to be able to smell and taste. We just don't know. You know, if you go back, any listeners that eat asparagus, many of you know that there's a certain smell to your urine afterward. We still don't know the exact reason why it affects some people and not others. And maybe that's ultimately going to give us a clue. Is it genetics or is it how we break down these certain compounds? We just don't know yet.
Yeah, this story, in fact, is about the genetic research that's taking place. And I don't know that the discovery of the genetic link will help us. Maybe it would. But if you can't smell or taste, you can't smell or taste, whatever the reason.
Yeah, and I think that shows a big reason. You know, many of those people had very mild COVID, that they were not those that were really, really sick and hospitalized. And it just shows that even the people that have mild cases of COVID can still have long-lasting effects, you know, besides the loss of taste and smell, the so-called long COVID type of symptoms with cognitive effects and brain fog, not to mention the shortness of breath and palpitations.
One last thing, Dr. Michael Bauer's on the line, medical director at Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital. What's the news on the hospital front? Is there something that we should be aware of in terms of treatment if I have COVID?
Fortunately, we are way ahead of where we were a year ago and certainly 2 years ago at the beginning of the pandemic. There's lots of different things we can do to help treat, but there is no cure. There's no penicillin like for strep throat and no magic bullet. Those that get hospitalized, we have very well-developed protocols on which pathways, which medications are going to help. But again, nothing is a magic cure. And despite best efforts, there, unfortunately, are still those going on to get really, really sick.
And are we decided on hydroxychloroquine and remdesivir that those aren't good uses of those medicines for COVID patients?
Well, no. Hydroxychloroquine, definitely not. Remdesivir is actually something that we do utilize. as an antiviral. Perhaps you were thinking of ivermectin, the so-called animal drug. And yes, it has absolutely no place whatsoever in the treatment of COVID, period.
Seems like I always come to this conclusion when I talk to the likes of you, and that is, whatever the science is or even the politics are of this, it's crazy that medicine would be this political, but we need to learn something about communication. We need to anticipate what the population is that's going to be resistant to the message and then get in front of that message to best encourage people.
Absolutely. And if nothing else, we've learned that lesson. I think having a better presence, as much as everybody is tired of hearing people talk about it and leading the news, it still is important to get the proper message out on a day-by-day basis and really address all that miscommunication and those urban legend type of things that tend to spread like wildfire.
That's what we're trying to do here. Dr. Michael Bauer, too, Medical Director, Northwestern Medicine, Lake Forest Hospital. Nice to talk to you, Mike. We'll visit again. Thanks for your help today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.